First this hour, New Zealanders living in Australia are well used to being the brunt of jokes. Most of the time, it's good-natured. We say it is anyway. But sometimes not, especially when it involves allegations of milking Australia's welfare system, for instance. But did you know that Kiwis living, working and paying tax here, who arrive on a special category visa, are not treated as full residents? They can't gain a permanent visa and they can't access a range of government payments. It's an anomaly highlighted in an article for the Griffith Review online, part of the issue titled Pacific Highway, which focuses on the complicated relationship we have with the land of the Long White Cloud. With me to explain further was Peter Mayers, a name and voice well known to RN listeners over the years as a former broadcaster here. Peter's nowadays a contributing editor with the online current affairs and culture magazine Inside Story, and he's an adjunct fellow at the Swinburne Institute for Social Research. I welcomed him to Saturday Extra.
Morning, Geraldine.
Lovely to have you join us. Now, your essay, A Special Category, outlines the differences in how we treat New Zealand residents in Australia following these changes made in 2001 under the Howard government, compared with the reciprocal rights offered to Aussies living across the ditch. Could you sum up the situation for us, please?
Well, I guess to sum up, Geraldine, the situation is not reciprocal anymore. It might have been once, but it's not anymore. So if I'm an Australian and I move to live in New Zealand, as indeed my brother does, he lives in Auckland or near Auckland, then after a couple of years, well, I immediately, even on entry, even if I go to visit my brother, I get a permanent residence visa. I'm treated as a resident from the moment I arrive. And if I live there for a couple of years, I can vote in New Zealand, even if I'm not yet a citizen. So I get voting rights. And I immediately have access to all sorts of other entitlements, as any other resident, permanent resident of New Zealand would be. But if you come from New Zealand to Australia, everyone who arrives, regardless of how long they're staying, gets what's called a special category visa, or a 444 is the number of the visa. And that visa allows you to live and work in Australia as long as you like. So we do have this Trans-Tasman travel agreement that enables people to come and go, live in each other's countries, work as long as they like. But it doesn't mean that you have the status of a resident in Australia. And you might live in Australia for 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. It doesn't make you a resident. So you are entitled to certain things. So, for example, as a New Zealand who is resident in Australia but not a permanent resident, you can get access to Medicare, for example. Australia and New Zealand have an agreement whereby we work out the proportion of a pension that should be paid to any person who might have spent, you know, X years living in Australia and X years living in New Zealand and so on. But you can't get, for example, unemployment benefits if you lose your job. You can't get sickness benefits if you're unable to work. You can't get youth allowance. If you're, say you're in a partnership with a New Zealand couple come over here, the relationship falls apart, the husband's violent, let's say, the woman leaves the relationship, she's not entitled to any of the services that a resident, a permanent resident or a citizen in Australia would be entitled to. If a kid leaves an abusive home and ends up homeless, they're going to have to be looked after by charities because they're not entitled to any of the services that would be available to a citizen or a permanent resident. So this is the anomaly. And as you said in your introduction, they can't become permanent residents. Well, that's not quite true. A New Zealander can become a permanent resident, but they have to do so in the same way as any other migrant. So yes, they have to compete for a skilled migration place, essentially. Have to jump through certain hoops. So if you come here and you're, I don't know, a bus driver or something, you're never going to fit the category of a skilled migrant. So in that case, or say you're over a certain age, you're not going to fit the category of a skilled migrant. So in that case, you're not going to be able to transition to permanent residency and citizenship. So some New Zealanders can, if they've got the right profession and the right skills, and others can't.
Yes, I'm just being told that our sound engineer today, Simon Branthwaite, is one of those affected by these restrictions. I had no idea about that. And we have been contacted after I went to air talking about this with Fran Kelly about the issue of what are termed no-income women. I understand there are many, especially in the Logan Gold Coast region of Queensland, New Zealanders affected by these restrictions and women left without any support, as are their children, because their marriages have broken down.
That's right. And they don't, I mean, people could say, well, they should go home to New Zealand. But it's not that simple, is it? If your kids have been maybe living in Australia for a long time, or if you want those kids to still be able to see their father the father is living and working in Australia, it's not, or you may actually not be able to take your kids back to New Zealand because you have to have a parental agreement to remove children from a country and take them to another country. You have to have both parents agreeing to that. So it can be a very complicated situation. As we know, Geraldine, I mean, people's lives get messy. You know, they might come to Australia thinking, oh, I'll work for a few years, save some money. And then, you know, gradually they've been here longer and longer, and gradually they kind of feel settled here. And then something terrible happens in their life, and they kind of can be stranded.
But they could apply for Australian citizenship, couldn't they?
First of all, you have to go to permanent residency. So that's the first step. You have to become a permanent resident before you become a citizen. And you have to be a permanent resident, I think, for 4 years before you can apply for citizenship. And as I said earlier, the only way to become a permanent resident is to apply,
have one of these categories that is acceptable.
Well, it's like any other skilled migrant or family migrant who comes to Australia. Like any other migrant who comes to Australia, you have to meet certain criteria to become a permanent resident. So if you come here like on a 457 skilled worker visa, say, for example, you don't automatically become a permanent resident. You have to then apply for permanent residency, which, by the way, is a very expensive process. I mean, thousands of dollars in application fees and so on.
And so how many are we talking about? How many people are involved?
Well, an increasing number. So there are, at the last count, which was September last year, there were 648,000 New Zealanders in Australia on these special category visas. Now, of those, probably 80 to 100,000 are actually here on a short-term basis because, as I say, whatever the length of stay, any New Zealander who enters Australia gets the same visa. Doesn't matter what you're intending to do. So some might be just have been here for a Wallabies game or you know, an All Blacks game or whatever it might be. Some might be visiting friends and family. But so if we take that 80 to 100,000 off, there's probably still 550,000 on a special category visa. Now, not everyone is affected because some people came before 2001 and they have a different set of rights. They were grandfathered. So the group we're talking about who are affected by the 2001 changes are probably around 200,000, approaching 200,000 people. That's the best guesstimate.
We must mention the history and the context of that 2001 because this was when there was a widespread growing view, I gather, in government that, in fact, there was a sort of polling on us by the New Zealanders who were coming over and that we were, it was a really a most unequal relationship. That's when, of course, New Zealand was in all sorts of bother and we were flying high. So that has to be brought into it, does it not?
Well, I think that the economic disparities between Australia and New Zealand are largely what explains the movement between the two countries. So there was a time up until about the 1960s, the movement each way was roughly equal. Since then, we've seen it becoming a more unbalanced situation with more New Zealanders coming to Australia than vice versa. And there were concerns in, say, the 80s and earlier, well, particularly around the 80s, I guess, concerns that New Zealanders were coming partly because Australia's welfare system was more generous and they could access it immediately on arrival. But that all changed long ago where, first of all, waiting periods were brought in. So New Zealanders, like other newly arrived migrants, had to wait a couple of years before they could access benefits. And then, we had other changes brought in. And so it was not a matter of New Zealanders coming in and being able to simply bludge on the Australian dollar or all these kind of, you know, we had these Bondi bludger idea and
yes,
all this sort of stuff. But that has been long gone. So it's really about the opportunities. People come for the opportunities in Australia. I mean, much higher wages in Australia than New Zealand, for example.
Well, that's a beautiful segue, Peter. Just stay there. But thank you very much indeed.